and assure success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand, divided we fall.
Sweetest honey from the honeybee, even though all the hives are collapsing. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Broadcasting live from the future, 7.02 a.m. local New Zealand time. It's Wednesday, October the 6th. Those of you who are stuck behind the dateline, don't worry. I'm sure you'll catch up eventually. Will, good morning, bro.
Good morning, Vinnie.
You sound a lot happier this morning than usual. Did you assault a police officer last night or something? I'll take that as a yes.
Happier than usual. Oh boy, you know. Know what? Close to that, Vinny. You know those slaves? You know that slave tradesman who? I don't mean that. But you know that slave who tried to assault me in my own property the other day?
Oh yeah.
I went to see his boss, and she ended up almost reacting the same way. Isn't it amazing? So I, luckily I recorded it all.
As above, so below.
And there's a close to 9-minute audio transcript of the fluoride head flipping out at me, so, yeah. Quite entertained.
Hey, you know what? Isn't it great when terrible stuff happens when the cameras are rolling? If terrible stuff happens and the cameras ain't rolling, then the terrible stuff just is terrible. But if the cameras are rolling, oh my God, it's just wonderful, isn't it, Will?
Well, this is pretty funny, yeah. Oh, boy. And I like it how they're going to lie about me and lie about what I said, and now I've got a recording of it. Yeah, but... Fluoride heads are real fun, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, bring the audience up to speed, man, because he only told us about that on the podcast yesterday. It's kind of like an interesting story, too. I like it.
Well, I guess the bad thing is I was flooded more than a month ago on the 26th of August, to be honest, and the carpets were ripped out the following day by the insurance company. The insurance company's given the green light. The insurance company's not the problem. Since then, this carpet company has been a problem. It's weird things that bother you in life, isn't it? And I'm on concrete right now because... Oh, got rugs. Because this carpet company's too busy to be able to get some carpet sent here and laid by a qualified technician. And so they turned up. They turned up the other day anyway, first thing in the morning when the ground's all wet and dewy, told me to have my computers and TV and stuff outside. I said, give me an hour, the tradesman didn't want to wait an hour. And a fight literally ensued after the tradesman lost the plot.
Little...
Isn't it interesting how...
Was he wearing a black uniform, Will? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We were just talking before the break about the old fluoride head coming to take a swing at Will. Quite understandable, yeah, man, like, really, you know. Nah, go ahead, mate.
I just can't believe how certain people respond to situations. But yeah, anyway, I went to speak to this guy's boss yesterday, and she said, no, he didn't take a swing at you. No, he didn't do any of this, just insistent. And I found myself quickly sort of descending and saying, you know, I said to her, I got pretty wild, actually, when she told me that he didn't try and hit me. And I said, well, I was actually willing not to go to the police until now. Maybe you've changed my mind, and maybe I should now lay an assault charge against your employee. No, so, of course, the fluoride heads, like, it's like every episode of Coronation Street's come home to roost for them. It's like, whoa, 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 big deal here, you know? Well, to me, it's just like another YouTube comment. Just water for ducks back, you know? These fluoride heads, they get real serious, and I recorded it, and I listened to it afterwards, and I was kind of like almost ashamed of myself too, because it reminded me of one of these YouTube videos someone made, once again taking the mickey out of Alex Jones. Saying there's a skit channel out there, Vinny. Anyway, you may have come across it. It's called Alex Jones Phones or something. Alex Jones orders a pizza. You know, it's him like saying, you know, hurry up, you scum. I want anchovies on top. So, you know what I mean? Like,
no. Wasn't it the date with Alex Jones?
Yeah, it was kind of like that, yeah. And I was listening.
Oh, that was so hilarious.
And I was like listening to this transcript, and it was just like, I was saying to myself, shit, am I being too hard on this fluoride head? Is it kind of like, Will Ryan orders a carpet or something? Like, just be like freaking out like it's David Rockefeller behind the counter. But. It's just really, it's really weird how to be taken seriously sometimes you have to lose the plot in this world, don't you find, Vinny? It's like you kind of, no one wants to do anything, just do their job. Do you find yourself getting given the runaround, the cold shoulder by companies all the time? Because I certainly do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the buck stops somewhere else consistently. And I think this is how the corporate structure has been designed to keep itself free from harm and free from complication. Basically, if any blame or difficulty comes across the company, you can essentially direct it elsewhere. And whenever you go elsewhere, then you can find that you're directed elsewhere again. And round we go. Where she stops, only the New World Order knows.
Well, I was actually quite struck, because this woman was like 50 years old or something, in a management role, and she said that I'd left the most disgusting message she's ever received from a customer on her answer phone. Now, keep in mind, this disgusting message would have been completely within FCC guidelines and cleaner than the majority of the content of the show. Her tolerance, that's what I mean by domestication of the public, their tolerance level and stuff. She says, I've saved this message on my answer machine. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. And I said, fine, take it to the police. I'll lay the assault charge. Bring it on. But and that really scares them somehow. And the argument I had with her, apparently, was the worst anyone's ever treated her or something like this. Like, seriously, man. There were customers standing out in front of the shop. No one said anything, no one did anything, no one was outraged. Don't you find, Vinny, isn't everyone just like so when someone stands up for themselves to a company that are so taken back, you're not meant to do this. You're meant to just follow orders and be a slave. You know, like, and you start trying to reason with them, and they're just, whoa, they can't handle it. This is on Home and Away. This is, can't be real.
Unless it happens on TV, it can't happen to me.
Seriously, they're just so domesticated. Like, it really pisses me off. It's like, when I approach a situation, it's just like, okay, anything that doesn't involve going to prison goes. You know what I mean? Pulling out threats upon them and stuff. What I mean, like, not threatening life, but just saying, hey, you know, I'd better do this or else, or I'm going to drag you through the mud. I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to, you know, like, why can't people use what's at their disposal? Because companies and tax departments and governments sure do. They pin you down all day.
Yeah.
You know, but if you get civilians who fight back, it's, who dare you? How are you? Who are you? How dare you? How dare you? You know what I mean? How dare you question a god? And that's what it's like.
Maybe people have got all these delusions of grandeur. You know what I'm saying, bro? They don't care.
Well, yeah. I guess people would say the same about us, right? You know, when you're a slave, like we are, pretending to be in control of your life, you know what I mean? It seems to upset a few people.
Well, you shouldn't be going around in life worrying who you're going to upset, because when you do that, basically, the only thing you're doing is hamstringing your own ability to speak free.
Exactly, but then when you don't, you end up having psycho, you know.
Well, you need to be just a psycho in a certain way. No, but seriously, though, I mean, if somebody gets an idea in their head that being rude to you or being dishonest or anything of this nature, and they're in a position where they can spread that kind of, roughness to many, many people, then it is your duty, more or less, to bring them to some form of justice, you know? Whether that be a psycho trying to assault you on your own front yard for doing a shoddy job, or whether that be a police officer arresting you for no good reason. Don't let these effers get away with it, you know.
That's it, Vinny. But it's like there's multiple ways of attacking it, and in surroundings here in New Zealand, most people take the line of just backing down, you know, just going along to get along. But and I would have too. I haven't always been like this. But I kind of changed a few years back. Around the same time I realized, you know, the banking system's a scam, 9/11's an inside job, all this sort of stuff, right? I changed because I realized there's so many people just throw their weight around. And scumbag con artists get their way. And ordinary good people get shoved around and trodden over. And it pisses me off, really, to be honest. And so when I see it, and when companies do it, and, you know, and unfortunately some of these people aren't to blame for any of these mechanisms or machinations, but when a company mucks me around, they start affecting my life, that's when I take it personally. You know, so John Key's affecting my life. That's why I don't like him.
Yeah, but you've got a wider view of this here, Will. I mean, most people don't think in the broad context that a truther does, because, like, for example, I remember this one chick I talked to at a party, and she asks, oh, what do you do? And I say, well, you know, I film protests and I do a radio show, a talk radio show. And she goes, oh, what do you discuss? Well, you know, politics and New World Order and all this. And as soon as I said the word politics, her face kind of glazes over and she kind of gets this sort of smug smile on her face. And she goes, anybody who discusses politics, I've just got to laugh at. And then she walks off, you know, just this vacuous, soulless slave scum prepared for extermination.
They've used a disinfo campaign on what politics is about too. It's about, you know, what, you know, the live from the beehive listening to grey-haired men tiff-toff away all day. You know, that's not what politics is, so yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. These people don't even understand it from the very beginning, let alone trying to get involved in any sort of debate. It's, yeah. I know what you mean, Vinny. I've heard that sort of mentality a lot. Yeah, it's really, really sad. I just got to laugh because, you know, I've transcended that. I'm way beyond those realizations. Barack Obama's just fine. Yeah, I don't know. I know that sort of person, and they really are dangerous. But you know what I mean? It's kind of like my approach to life is if a guy wants to build a yacht, grow some dreads, smoke pot, and go surfing out Great Barrier for 2 weeks, that's just fine. Well, for 2 years or for his whole life, that's fine by me. That's fine by me. I believe in voluntarism. If he doesn't want to be part of this structure, this society, this neighborhood, whatever, he can leave. He can do what he wants to do. And so that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is people who affect me. Carpet people not doing their job, John Key not doing his job, you know, low levels and high levels. And that really grates with me. But see, the mentally insane people is the other way around. The pothead who wants to go off surfing his whole life, they get mentally enraged about. They go, oh, why is he doing that? He's not contributing to society. He's a bludger. He's this, that, and the other, right? And then the person who's absolutely running their life, they don't get mad at it at all. And it's because they're coward. It's because they're too cowardly to be able to pin blame and actually associate it with individuals. They just want to have this ethereal sort of hatred towards people who don't contribute, bludgers, people taking their taxes, supposedly. You know, and I've noticed that common thread. So me, the crazy person, I go after people who affect my life. And then the sane person, he gets angry at bludgers and beneficiaries and, you know what I mean, just a slim minority of people who want to opt out of the system and sometimes use it. And abuse it. No. What do you do? It just doesn't make any significant difference to the country whatsoever what those people do.
Well, maybe it's a life lived in insignificance where people find meaning to their lives, you know? And by that, I mean what everybody is doing in their life doesn't matter to, say, the elite, right? But on the other side of it, it shouldn't matter very much to people like you or I what these fluoride heads who don't really contribute anything to society do with their lives, right? It shouldn't matter because we're actually doing something with ours. But on the same token, I think it's like this big fat tragedy, you know, because I see potential, and I see it squandered.
The thing is, Vinny, that girl who made those snide remarks about you, people ask what people do all the time, you know what I mean? And as soon as you say you're a political activist or anything of that incarnation, people are like, yeah, but what do you really do? Or how is that worthwhile? That sort of, they infer that it's a pointless task that surely couldn't occupy much time or importance, whilst they answer calls for some scummy company all day. You know what I mean? Like, they don't realize that this is the, what you said to that girl is the biggest realm of human existence. It's bigger than all of entertainment and sports and everything. It's bigger than everything.
Certainly matters more, and that's why our society's gotten so sick, right?
It underpins everything.
Yeah. I mean, the underpinning ruling of society, the way it really works, is no longer known. Maybe, perhaps, it was never known how society was truly run by the majority of the population. Maybe you're the right. Vast majority of people have never been educated to the point where they're capable of even quantifying how society is truly run.
And they don't like it when you try and find out. When you even just try and understand it, they don't like it. They just want it to be dumb and happy like them.
They feel intimidated, right? And rightly so. I don't think that anybody should ever live their life feeling inferior in certain ways. But this is just like a false response, you know? You can't feel inferior just because somebody knows something that you don't. What you should do then is learn, okay? I didn't make the world the way it is, but you decided that you didn't want to know the way the world is, and that's not my fault. That's your fault, okay? Blame yourself. Punch yourself in the face if it upsets you.
It's true, man. It's true. Well, like, when I'm told certain fluoride heads that they don't believe me, I just try and shock them with the deep end, right? I just tell them, you know what, yeah, 2,300 of the world elite goes to Bohemian Grove once a year. You know, for 2 weeks in July, every July. And they go and sacrifice mock humans in effigy. They burn them on a stone altar at the base of a 45-foot owl. You know what I mean? And it's just so insane. It's just so unbelievable. And they think I'm crazy because of it. I haven't invented Bohemian Grove. I didn't make the owl. People are just, there's too much ego involved, you know? It's not about us as individuals. It's about understanding ideals.
Hey, are there any ideals left? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we idealistically will be back soon after the break. Gentlemen, to the COINTELPRO CIA sponsored show with Will. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We have a guest on the line with us at the moment. His name is Arthur Christian from loveforlife.com.au. He's an Aussie and he has a lot of dedication for the cause and is willing to go that extra mile. Considering he's getting up at 5 a.m. to do this bleeding show. So he seems to have at least as much going for him as we do. Arthur, are you there?
I'm here, Vinny. How are you, mate?
I'm good, bro. If you could speak a little louder, that would be fabulous.
I'm okay. Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's much better. How's it going, mate? How's it going
today? It's all right.
All right.
Challenging times.
Yeah. Well, would you explain to the listeners just about what your website, loveforlife.com.au, is about?
It was the result of, after the family experienced bank fraud, we had our family home being stolen from us by contracts that were, long story, I'm going to cut the story short, the contract was switched, and we then started researching because we had what we thought was an unlosable court case. And when we came across many, many hundreds of unlosable court cases, all losing, we thought, my God, we're going to lose ours as well. So we did the radical and we dropped our lawyers, dropped everybody, and went outside the square which meant we stopped diving into their books and everything and started following our intuition and gut instinct to try and find a remedy. Because the more we kept searching, the more we realized that, there was no cure to the wrongs that were happening within the law. So eventually Love for Life came into existence, because what we noticed was that not only our family, our extended friends and wider communities and those we were networking across email, because we didn't have websites back then, there was no community immunity. You know, people were telling us, I should be right, mate. No worries, mate. It'll all be sorted out. You'll be looked after. And what we got to find, that we were alone. We had no one to help us fend off this pack of brutal rip-offs, liars. This is how we thought back then. And we thought, my God, if there's no community immunity, there's no point me going back into working again and making another 20 years of earning money to make another family home and have it all stolen from us again. So my wife and I decided that we're going to resolve this community immunity problem. And so began the Love for Life work. And while we were looking at trying to find a cure to remedy the court case to help us get back the family home and all the stolen assets and monies that were tied up in this, we started expanding consciousness, because in following our intuition, we didn't realize this was happening for the first 3 years or so. So we've sort of, our whole lives have changed completely since then, to now that what we write about is consciousness from a perspective that most people on Earth have never even thought about before. And we've had to learn to find ways to explain it in a simple medium, so that we can then translate it into documentary and you know, film and music and video, etc., because that's where we're going now with this work.
Yeah, I mean, I've always felt that expanding public awareness of anything, really, is a matter of medium. And if you don't have the medium right, if you're not doing radio, if you're not doing TV, if you're not doing web, in this technological age, I mean, your message just more or less ain't going to get out there.
Exactly. So the internet's actually worked for us, even though it's an industrial military complex device. It actually works against them as well. If your intention's right, you can actually use it. Though the internet was devised as a monitoring, it was used as a checking point to check the thinking of the people, because the powers that be always use statistics to monitor the mind control of the masses, because they see us, as you already know, as dumbed down sheeple. And it is very true, this, because the work we've unraveled explains this in what we feel is a very profound way.
Specifically, what is it you're unraveling?
People on the way. Sorry?
What is it you're specifically unraveling here? I mean, could you share with us some of the details of your case?
The court case is not so important anymore. Even that's still sitting there in limbo. I mean, that's still unresolved. That's still that's sitting there, not cured. After 5 years. But in terms of the work, what Love for Life's about, I'll explain it to you this way. If you can think of children being brought up by nature, if you put children in nature, not exposed to the system meaning read and write alphabet languages, they weren't exposed to all the constructs that come from the education system that's explained through the read and write alphabet languages. Or anyone who's exposed to that. So if a child was brought up by nature, all the system and everything the system's about would not be communicated to the child, because that information does not exist in the real world. It's all made up out of thin air. And so we have had to be put on a conveyor belt and molded through factory planet Earth to be brainwashed into learning read and write alphabet languages, so that they can deliver the constructs for us to comprehend. Because if we don't comprehend the constructs, we cannot even believe and put our energy into them. And because the whole world of the system is a dead corpse. It's like a dead body that you pick up and it can't walk or talk. So you've got to walk and talk for it. You've got to think for it. You've got to act for it. You have to eat for it. You have to do everything for it, because it needs the living to perform for it. In doing that, we become slaves to prop up this dead world. For example, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, it's a dead corpse. All it is a destroyed mountain, valleys, and trees. It's been the information that was in nature was destroyed. The life forms were killed to turn it into steel and plastic and concrete and everything else. And now it's a dead corpse. It can't maintain itself. It's got no life, no consciousness embodied in its form. So we then take families away, or mothers and fathers, whoever, from their families to now have to paint that bridge, have to maintain that bridge because it can't do anything for itself. And that's the state with the alphabet languages. We have to memorize this information. In nature, we don't have to memorize anything. And we can go into this. We can explain this and go right into the depth of this. You know, if you ever want to go that far, we can go into the real guts of it. But, you know, like for another example of this dead corpse thing is like the word Supreme Court. That is a construct, but it doesn't exist. So that information is not found in nature. It has no role to play in nature. It doesn't aid life in rolling along here and now. You know, if you go and talk to the Supreme Court and go, hello, Supreme Court, please talk to me. Anybody there? You find there's nothing there. All you've got is the living man who has to represent it because it can't represent itself. And so this is no different.
Ironically enough, though, the Supreme Court has ruled that a corporation has a soul and can donate as much money as it wants to any political campaign.
Oh, of course, these are all the constructs. True, that's exactly right. The system is a fairy tale, and this is how it all works. Is that for an example, as a child sitting on our parents' lap or peers, whoever, and they open up a book called Alice in Wonderland, and we sit there and remember all this information that we're going to discover in Alice in Wonderland is not found in nature. This nature will never tell us this information or any other fairy tale. There'll be certain props and things, there'll be certain animals and trees, but generally the overall theme of the fairy tale, that information doesn't exist. It's all made up out of thin air. So because our mother or father has been brainwashed already by this, they can read the read and write alphabet language to describe the imagery. And we as children, looking up to our peers and trusting them, we start to form a character who starts to act and perform inside the fairy tale because of the fact that they're reading us and explaining us the journey of the characters in the story. And in doing that, we learn how to create characters that don't exist that we then perform in costume and title. We run around as Superman and Spider-Man and you know, Alice and whatever, you know, and on it goes like that. Now, to translate that, Vinny, into what you said about private corporations, this includes America or the United States, it includes New Zealand and Australia and all the other Commonwealth countries, and includes most other countries. We are ruled by the Crown, the British Empire. And the Crown represents T, the word Crown, C, copy, R, right, ownership, copyright, ownership. And what the Crown is a fairy tale. It's the story of a fairy tale, which is the system, and the Crown is the copyright holder of the intellectual property. Because, you see, like, money doesn't exist. Everything in the system doesn't exist. It doesn't live. It's not life-sustainable. It has no life. So, explain another way. If you want to rent the intellectual property of, say, Harry Potter, you have to go to the copyright holder of Harry Potter and do a contract with Harry Potter so that you can then merchandise mugs, T-shirts, with the intellectual property owned by the copyright holder. In doing that contract, they have an interest in you. And so they will charge you royalties, as in royal family. And so the same thing with us. Because birth certificates were created, we have become a fictitious character who performs in the dead corpse world of the system, the fairy tale that they've invented for us, which they taught us to believe in when they put us through the conveyor belt on factory planet Earth through the education system.
We're a dead corpse that performs in a fantasy play. I love that. Continue.
Yes, that's right. So we are now renters of the intellectual property. And so we have to pay them royalties. Now, the royalties come in the forms of registration fees, driver's license fees, tolls, passport fees, every fee you can imagine. They are all royalties. They're fees that we pay to the Crown, to the copyright holder. The rule of law and the government are all authorised, representatives representing the fairy tale. They administer the fairy tale. And we are in the fairy tale. And that's the true matrix. This is the real matrix, not the one that they pitch through the films. This is the real one. And so this is what it's all about. They, you see the symbols they wear in their clothing. They act on behalf of the authorized, that they act on behalf of the copyright holder, administering, administering the affairs of the copyright holder. And that's what it's all about. And so they use force to keep us within the hologram of the fairy tale, and fear and trauma and all this stuff goes with it to keep us locked in. But none of it exists, Vinny. The whole system and everything about it does not exist. It's all made up, and it's actually, you know what it represents? Destruction to who we really are, and destruction to everything that we are part of. Meaning, we have forgotten who we really are, we have forgotten what we are really part of, and we've forgotten our true purpose. Because in the end, if others can control you, how they think and feel, like if they can get you to think and feel what they want you to think and feel, and get you to put your energy into their feelings and thoughts, you will create a world in their image. But most don't realize in doing that that they've become a slave in doing that. And that's who we are. Well, that's what we've become without provided full disclosure as children. Because we were given full disclosure, they're going to do this to us. Obviously, as we would prefer not to be lost.
I totally agree, Arthur. I totally agree. It's by designing the reality around us and creating this stage play that they become gods, they believe.
Exactly. And their god is their founding father, the copyright holder of the fairy tale, where all the shit started back in roughly 10,000 years ago in their recorded history. It's fiction, all history. Something else to be aware of for your listeners, it's possible a lot of your listeners have never heard this stuff before.
Is it, and also just remind you about the language as a family show, but continue.
Apologies. Yes. Yes. Forgive my slackness in
don't worry. Go for your effing life, mate.
Look, up until 1780 AD, roughly 1780 AD, 99.99% of the total global population could not read and write any alphabet language, which means that today's supposed 6.7 billion population, all their ancestors going back 10,000 years in recorded history had nothing to do with recording it because they couldn't do it. They were all illiterate. They all had their village talk and tribal talk. So it means that roughly 20 per 1 million of today's population and going back through recorded history were the only ones who could read and write. Now, you had to be privileged.
Well, that's an interesting discussion. Let's get into this after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our guest is Arthur Christian, and we'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace.
There's only one thing I need to know, ladies and gentlemen. Whose side are you on? All right? Are you a scumbag working for a corporation, living the fantasy, not living the dream? Or are you one of the wonderful, happy, charming individuals who we find all over the world in the Truth Movement? Currently we have on the line a representative of said fabulous individuals from the island nation of Australia. His name is Arthur Christian. Arthur, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Hi, Vinnie.
Now, what were you talking about before the break? I wanted you to continue on.
Okay, wanted to stress that I'm skirmishing very quickly across a whole lot of subjects here, so if you want to, at another time, go more deeply into it, because I don't know how your show works yet, but, you know, I'm open. My wife and I are quite happy to go more in-depth in a lot of the themes here. But where off for your commercials, and also tell me if I've talked too fast, if I'm going too fast, or if you want me to slow down, let me know, because I'm just... robotic. I'll just fire off with this stuff. And
one of the most educated listening audiences in the world, mate. So you can go for your life,
mate. Fantastic. Okay. Well, the 20 per 1 million of the global population who were the only ones who could read and write were the owners of the castles, were the high priesthoods. They were the aristocrats, and all the lackeys and all that connected to that bloodline, because they're all connected through bloodlines. You had to be privileged to be invited in to learn a read and write alphabet language, which took the better part of 20 years to master the craft, the practice with exclamation marks around it, and the craft with exclamation marks around craft. Because this is true Freemasonry. This is the basis of all Satanism. All read and write alphabet languages came out of mathematics, and mathematics came out of sacred geometry. All three are abominations. All three do not exist, and they're not found in nature. They're just constructs superimposed over nature, as we do with everything within the system, which means we have to destroy what does exist to construct material physical forms that do not exist, that become dead corpses, that make us slaves to have to perform for them.
Oh, so let me get this straight. The basic construct here is the mathematics and the abilities of communication and the very foundations that society is built on, from construction of buildings, which represent whatever, and construction of language, stories, and how information is passed on, it is all being created by people who use them to deceive you. And therefore, because these things are the basis for our entire society, that means our entire society is a big constructed myth.
Exactly right, because see, the living word is nature, and nature is our true language, it's our true tongue. And this is a very exciting discussion to go into this particular field, because it once we recognize the distinction between the constructs that are man-made, which require us to remember that information, which is completely different from information coming out of nature, which we do not have to remember. And that's all based on contemplation, which is what we can go into that, you know, at some point if you like. But just to complete this little circuit of what Love for Life, the work that Fiona and I are doing, is that I suppose the end result of all of this is this, is that life is nature, life is information. And when we distort that information, when we distort nature, or what is natural, and we eat it, and we drink it, and we think it, and we feel it, and we stress over it, and we play with it, and we work with it, because we are life, we also become distorted. And that is the tragedy of all of us, because if we were given full disclosure as children that we were going to be got at and allow ourselves to be lost in the matrix of the system, to be distorted, to be lost, and we knew, you know, through idiot-friendly means, that, you know, because we comprehended what the significance of what was going to happen to us, we would obviously say no, because no one would want to be lost. You see, in the real world, there's no borders or boundaries. There are no nations. There are no constructs like money and passports and visas and credit cards and governments and rule of law and all that. None of that exists. It's all made up. And because we've drifted so far from remembering who we really are, which only comes from the living word, which is nature, where the living creator is, that we are, it encompasses everything that is, we have just completely severed, disconnected ourselves. And in doing that, as explained before, we start doing harm. And the basis of all harm is because we've fallen from consciousness, we've fallen from remembering who we are, into performing in the fairy tale, which requires destruction to who we really are and what we're part of. And that's all that's happening. Either we're co-creating and expanding the living dream that we are, that we're part of, or we're wrecking it. And there's a lot more to this. Like, you know, I could talk about duality.
What I find is that destruction is far easier than creation. And our society, yeah, as far as entertainment is concerned, is far more centered around destruction and death than creation and life. So therefore it is of little surprise to me that,
yeah,
many people live destructive lives. that they don't know how to create things. Most people don't even know how to grow vegetables anymore. Okay, just within a generation or two of supermarkets existing, people don't know how to grow their own food. They don't know how to live anymore.
Well, and, because we're all renters.
They don't know how to. They don't know how to raise children. They don't even know the what a woman and a man do together as a husband and wife in order to raise well-adjusted children. These things are lost, and it's people like you, Arthur, that are trying to basically find what we've lost and bring it back so that people can understand it. And if you understand what you've lost in this life, whatever it may be, you can get it back. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You're listening to the future of talk, quite literally. It's Wednesday, 8:01 a.m., and the rest of you are still stuck on Tuesday. It must be like, I don't know, 2 p.m., 2:02 p.m. or something like that. Must be pretty lame. And Arthur, speaking of really lame, it's like, what is it now, 6 a.m. where you are, mate?
Yeah, it is. It actually, yep, you're right.
And
the funny thing
today.
Is, time doesn't exist.
Yeah. Speaking of things that don't exist, yesterday I went out to bury my grandfather and grandmother's ashes together with my family. And coincidentally enough, huge chemtrails. Massive ones, stretching the whole way across the horizon. And I said to them, mate, look at those, man. Aren't they amazing? And they're like, eh. And just turn away as if they're nothing. You know, these things don't exist.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking right at them and they don't exist. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, this feeds sort of into what we're talking about, doesn't it? This entire false reality that's been brought up. And people believe the false reality far more than reality itself.
Yeah, we're dealing with black magic. And you know, that's a word that goes, oh, Hollywood, oh, no, rough, but it really is black magic. And it's a subject that I write a lot about, and it's great to see now that some wonderful people are breaking Roman canon law, which is embedded in black magic, which is behind the Roman Catholic Church, and it's behind many other things that come out of this bloodlines that where all this rubbish started. a long time ago. So, you know, it's a wonderful, I find it a wonderful subject to comprehend, because when we realize how they've done it, you know, and how we've been caught up in it, and how we, because it needs our energy, you know, it needs us to put our energy into it. Otherwise, if we all walked away from it, which is what we all have to do, it will all just fade away and disappear. You know, it'll no longer be.
How do you walk
but
away?
Anyway,
from the,
yeah,
how do you walk away parents. From the very construct of reality? That's something that I'm interested to know.
Well, it all comes back to remedy, you know, and this is what has been our greatest challenge, trying to evoke this, because you know we can't force anybody else to think and feel what you want to think and feel. You've got to honour the uniqueness of each, all of us, and we've all got to come to it to realise that this dream comes with full responsibility, as all dreams do. All dreams come with full responsibility. And if we don't take that responsibility, that dream will be harmed and or fade away and die. So there is, the only way out of this is through a mass exodus from the system.
But that's what I'm talking about. And it's about time too, isn't it, Arthur? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Our guest is Arthur Christian, and we'll be right back after the break.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. Our special guest is Arthur Christian. You can look him up on Facebook. What have you got? Nearly 5,000 friends there, Arthur. Doing pretty well.
And there's another, God knows, I think 3,000 or 4,000 limbo waiting for us to set up some fan pages, and we're still getting our heads around that one.
Yeah, well, you're such a nice guy. It's not a surprise.
Yeah, we've got, the website gets up to 12 million hits a month, you know, and it's you know, like, you know, people like David Icke write to us, and, you know, we get a lot of people contacting us now, and we have been for a long time, but, you know, I think we're only just now starting to break through. But, you know, there's a huge price to pay in all this work, you know, in the last 15 weeks, there's been 3 attempts on my life, you know, we've had 9 death threats in the last year. So, you know, with this work we do, you know, it doesn't come, you know, with beds of roses. It comes with a huge toll. We're still very close to poverty, you know. We're not that far away from destitution. We do all this work for free. We don't charge anything for it. We give it all away because we see life as a gift. And we try and inspire others through Walk the Talk. And people do send us gifts, you know, to keep us going, because without that, we wouldn't be able to even make these phone calls now, even be able to chat on the phone. But, you know, it's a real standing up and a real confrontation, not as love, through the virtues of love, not as in anger and in any other distorted emotion. You can't do that; it won't work. There's a lot to this, you know.
Yeah, yeah. There's, I mean, my personal thoughts on it is just more or less have a laugh. Best way of dealing with it.
Yeah, it's not. It's just. Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to the day when we can spread the workload around amongst many of us, because we're all working together as a, we call them kindoms, K-I-N, without the G, D-O-M-S. They're do-no-harm communities where we live for each other, we serve each other. And in doing that, the fruits of our labor becomes the real natural means of living, instead of having the fiction, as in commerce, and having to have third parties or private corporations have to administer and govern the efforts of labour and exhaust our energy to prop up the dead world in doing it. You know, so it's a, yeah, I'm all for that, mate. That's where we're heading. That's, you know, just in case it's not mentioned on your show, there's these books called The Ringing Cedars from Russia. They're a fantastic series of books called The Ringing Cedars. I recommend everyone get their hands on those books. You can find the links to that through the homepage and the Love for Life.com.au website. and our work. People like to read up on what we've been writing. We have gone to great trouble to explain all this because we felt it. But there was no tongue, no mouth that could tell us this information. There was no book we could go to read about this stuff. We had to go to nature to learn this and use logic to try and work through this, to try and work out what's happened to us all. How come we lost community immunity? And who are we? What's become of us? It's been a team effort. A lot of great people have come into our lives and shared information, and that's there's an extensive research library in the Love for Life website that has over 8,000 documents in there now, and it's huge, and it's it covers a huge area of information that you would be discussed on Freedom America radio show. Something I could share with you quickly, Vinny, for example, things that, this really blows people away because they find it hard to believe, but the Earth does not turn. The Earth is not a planet. And everything we're seeing are not planets. And more than that, the Earth does not go around the Sun. And the Sun is not part of a solar system, and there is no galaxies and all that stuff. This is all done through third parties. They've told us how to think and feel. If we go to nature, brought up by nature, nature will not tell us this information. Who we really are, what we're seeing, is our body. Everything is part of our body. The consciousness of man is the living body of everything we see, touch, taste, smell, feel, hear. But we've become individualized, or individe you all. We've all been individualized, and the individualism is what's destroying everything because we think of ourselves as a self, and that we're alone and apart from each other, all of us on a journey heading from somewhere to somewhere. But all that's rubbish too. We're not heading anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to heaven, and we're not going to hell, and we haven't come from some heaven or from some hell. It's all here and now. We are life, and we talk about this a lot as well, who we are and what we're part of. And again, I don't want anyone to believe what I say.
I had a thought on individualism versus collectivism, and I thought to myself, what's happening with you here is that you've kind of stuck your flag up and you've decided to dig your heels in and you've decided to fight for the truth, right? And in so doing, other people who have done the exact same thing on an individual basis are starting to pay more attention to you and contribute to you, people like David Icke, and it's also the reason why you're on this show, is because you've proven yourself to be someone whose opinion really counts, right? And therefore, if your opinion counts, it should probably be broadcast a little bit more so that people can hear it and work through it, because it's not an easy conclusion to come to. It is based on a lot of research that we live in a false reality in every single sense of the word. And when we get to the point where we understand it's a false reality, then we start to look for other people who understand this exact same concept too. And in so doing, individualism becomes far more powerful than collectivism, because the power of what people are individually contributing to any little cause, whether it be what David Icke is individually doing, or whether it's what Vinny's individually doing, or Will, or Arthur, these things really do make a huge amount of difference with only a very small amount of people. All right? And the key here is coming from a higher place, coming from a higher state of consciousness, coming from the understanding of our false reality. And it's ironic, really, that one can talk about the understanding of a false reality, because conceivably, any understanding that we come across could also be false.
Yeah. It's interesting because we were given a name, and we're taught to be a person, and inside the system, we act as an individual. In the real world, we are the collective consciousness, and I'm your brother, you are my brother, we are all brothers and sisters to each other, and the consciousness of everything that is the consciousness of the man that we are. We're all collectively co-creating this living dream, if we remember it. That's the thing. The other thing is that some of the metaphors we use, like we say, the creatures live for the forest, and the forest takes care of all the creatures, and all together they maintain the perfection of life. Men, women, and children live for the tribe, and the tribe takes care of man, and all together they maintain the perfection of paradise or life. And that's what the true consciousness is about, because we've got to look at, you see, life is a gift. If we live for the dream, we live for life around us. We don't live for self. It's in serving self, as in, I've got to work to pay my taxes. I've got to work to have my course and career. I've got to have the things that the self needs, because the self's a fiction. It's the thing that's hooded over us. It's the child that's created the fictitious character who performs in the fairy tale. We've got to peel all this away, so that we're no longer living to survive the self in the system. We are now co-creators living for the dream that we are, and in that, both collectivism and individualism are really one and the same thing. When we come from a point of consciousness or love, there's no self. We're not separated. We've got to break away from the separation.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I've been fighting of late, is that people really have this kind of auto division. I'm starting to recognize it as, where people will automatically gravitate towards disagreeing with you on minor issues rather than agreeing with you on the general picture, you know. And this is something that I'm struggling with at the moment, because I'm a propagandist by trade, you know, former salesman and all of that. And one of my achievements that I look for when I'm interacting with people is, can I get my ideas across? Can other people understand what I'm saying? Can they understand what I'm thinking if I'm honest with them? And the irony is that if you're honest with people, they won't understand you these days, because lies are the truth, right? And truth are the lies. And everybody individually has skills and talents and everything that they can contribute to the whole. And it's in the service of others, serving the whole in our own unique ways, that we find ourselves.
Yeah, we find out who we are, part of the dream, and that's true. And that, it's all about walk the talk, and that's where the true power comes in actually being the living dream that we are, and that has profound effects. The hardest thing Fiona and I found was having to disentangle from the languages of all the constructs that we were brainwashed into, to be able to find metaphors to describe the fallen state that we've become in such a way that it could reach more people who will not act as a brick wall, who will at least absorb some of that information, because it's all about our... I came from a sales marketing background. I made my money out of sales and marketing as well, and ran business for 20 years and employed many people and turned over, you know, lots of money, all that stuff. So that was all my background. But, you know, I don't claim to be successful in doing all that. It's just something I did. But the point I'm getting at is that if our intention is to love others and serve others, we walk the talk, and we're prepared to go where the truth takes us, and we're clear about what our objective is, we will unravel the means to reach those, a larger majority of men and women that we wouldn't have been able to if we did not sacrifice, let go of all the things we were holding on to that were holding us back from connecting with others. And this is all about, this all comes into ego and all the other stuff that comes with it, you know, and because the ego doesn't exist. So that's another subject I'd like to get into, about this whole thing about the ego. It's fascinating. Another fascinating subject, Benny.
Hey, please, Arthur, go on about your ego.
Well, the ego... You want, I'm a robot. I don't know whether I should have responded to that then. Good one.
Hey, you walked right into it, mate.
Hey, I actually wanted to talk about off-world influences
and the non-human participation in our system. Do you know anything about this?
Say that again, sorry.
I wanted to talk about the non-human participation in the ruling of our world. You know, David Icke talks about these reptilians and there's supposedly alien presences that have been on this planet for a long time, and there's tie-ins with the elite and the bloodlines and all that there, but it's something that I don't fully understand. I was wondering if you knew...
Well, it doesn't exist. We've told David all that's bullshit. All this reptilian stuff is rubbish. You've got to keep remembering this. What you're thinking and feeling, if you don't find it in nature, and if it doesn't live... See, what does the reptilian do for nature that aids nature rolling along here now? Now, nature's not just Earth. It's everything we see. Everything that has a place in life that's real, it's true, it has substance embodied in its form. It's sustainable. It has a central role to play as what we call in nature the ecosystem. You know, so what does the reptilian or the aliens do for nature that aids nature rolling along here and now? Would we all perish and suffer if they didn't exist? You know, can we eat it? Can we drink it? Can we breathe it? What does it do? What role does it play? These are critical things to keep looking at, because it's so easy, after having spent 20 years on the conveyor belt through factory planet Earth, being a child growing up, getting used to third parties who tell us how to think and feel, and we place that information on what we see, and we believe that to be true, and we're projecting that. The reptilian stuff is all that. The Anunnaki stuff's all rubbish. Look, what we've found in the work we've done is that the Earth was enveloped by a water canopy. The water canopy was busted by our ancestors. Up until then, our ancestors, in a natural environment where the oxygen was 100% and the Earth was a living food forest that had planes and others, the air was so enriched in pollen. Our ancestors were between 14 foot and 33 foot tall. The dinosaurs that they talk about today, most of them didn't exist. This is all fabricated through plaster on Paris. There's a lot of stuff about this now. The people who wrote the history were very tiny, tiny few people here. It's all recorded in read and write alphabet languages. You've got to be really discerning about what you're reading and who wrote it and why. Because they've written about the dark histories, if we've come out of the dark ages. But we never came out of any dark ages. They wrote about it all. There's a tiny few wrote about it, but the majority of people haven't experienced it. We weren't there. And you've got to look at nature.
I've got a belief here that everything I know is wrong, you know, and we're all operating under incomplete information, and that the history of the world is, for the largest part, unknown in its entirety, for two reasons. Number one, the victors write the history books, and number two, they often burn them, as happened to the Library of Alexandria, which possessed all the history books of all the world and all of humankind.
Remember, Vinny, that's read and write alphabet languages.
Mm.
It's not the true language of man. It's not the true history of man.
But how can we know the true language of the true history of man unless it's recorded somewhere for us to find?
No, it's recorded in nature. Our ancestors had what we call, but this is where the consciousness all comes into it. Our ancestors buried the bodies of our parents and our grandparents, their parents, and them in the earth. And the consciousness of everything they thought and felt, the purity and sincerity, because we're talking about they're not thinking and feeling the distortion. That is all the constructs that are formed out of the languages of read and write and mathematics, etc. The consciousness of our ancestors, everything they thought and felt, was in the rocks. It's still in the rocks now. It's in the birds that live in that environment. It's in the trees, in the grass, in the fields, it's in the air, it's in the stars. It's bouncing back from the celestial bodies. It's in everything. And the children can go, the descendants can go to those places to commune with the consciousness of the ancestors to expand their consciousness. And the Earth is the living dream of man. As man multiplied by more and more children, creating children who contemplated on nature and expanded the living dream, we can just go into more. We can go into more detail with this if you like. We can go, you know, right into this. But the Earth expanded as man expanded, because we are Earth. The living Earth. The Earth is our body. Our body is Earth. But Earth is not a planet. They taught us to think everything in ways of individualism, because it's all part of the rules of the divide. The rules of the divide came out of the compass and the square. We can go into all this as well if you like. The compass and square has the all-seeing eye in the compass. The compass has two points. When you put one point down, if you straighten it up, that's your obelisk. That's the eye, the all-seeing eye. That's the child who's been brainwashed to fall into the fairy tale. And then when you turn the compass around from the point, you're creating a circumference. That's the story of the fairy tale. The child has formed itself inside its prison, inside the fairy tale. So the children can pick up the costume of Spider-Man and begin to perform in the world of Spider-Man inside the circumference. So the all-seeing eye of the compass is the I, as in E-I-E. It's also I as in the dot I, but it's the ego, it's the self, it's the person, or the straw man, or the agent in commerce. It's the individual.
So we've met,
who performs
so
in
we've
America.
Met the enemy. We've met the enemy, and the enemy is us, and we're only looking inwards because it's all a construct.
Because we're the ones thinking and feeling it. Exactly right, because we are the ones thinking and feeling that information. We are the.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief.
There's a lot of confusion.
Feel this man there to drink my wine.
It's what happens when you learn things that damage your perception of reality. If you perceive reality as a fake construct, on the other hand, it's all good. Welcome back to the show, Arthur. Are you there, mate?
Good one, mate. I am here, mate. I was just laughing with you.
Well, that's good. It's always nice to have a wee bit of a cackle.
Yeah, it's very important to rejoice in life, mate.
I wanted to get into a little bit of the old ancient history. Now, you were talking about our giant ancestors. I'd like you to elaborate on that, if you could.
Well, I was just going to say that we are the artist and the audience. You see, to get back to that, I just want to just cover this thing here. They have to get us to think and feel what they want us to think and feel so that we can project those images. Because we are the artist that paints life. And in doing that, we are co-creating the living dream in the image of our projections. The reason that the world is distorted is because we are projecting that image, because we were taught to think and feel the distortion that it represents the system, everything of the system. When you look at the obelisk, and you look at like the one at Washington, D.C., or anything that has water in front of it, you look at the reflection. What it represents is the grand architect, the founder of the fairy tale that is the system of systems. And that reflection is the information that we were taught to think and feel in his image. And that is what we are projecting. And this is what they worship. The basis of Moloch and Baal and Ahriman and all the other, particularly Zeus, Z-E-U-S, Zeus and Zeus and oh my God, there's many Horus. What it all ties back to are civilizations of commerce, which are all the systems. Now, every civilization of commerce is apocalyptic by design. They don't exist, they're dead. They can only be sustained for so long by our energy before it crumbles and perishes. And
this includes our society, doesn't it?
It includes our society, yeah, that's right, because it doesn't exist, it's not real. It is a pretend world. If you want us to come back on and somewhere down the line or whenever you want, we'll talk about the rule of law. We'll get into some of this stuff to show you just how incredibly we are so utterly brainwashed. Like if you think of a sentence in a read and write alphabet languages, every letter in English, for example, every letter has a meaning, but they didn't teach us the meanings of those letters at school. But they each have a meaning, and those meanings are incantations. And as you form these meanings together, these incantations together, you create a spell as a word. And they taught us to spell, to put us under the spell. And this is what it's all about. So when you look at the obelisk and you look at the reflection is the spell of which is what we are thinking and feeling, the information, that's the fairy tale that they taught us to think and feel. And if we put our energy into those thought forms, we will create the form because we are the co-creator of the dream.
So it's kind of like a soap opera, right? That's what the world really is. It's just a giant soap opera. We're sitting here on the couch, on the sidelines of life, while we're looking at this television projection, okay? And then the projection becomes so strong in our lives that it becomes almost as if we're part of the soap opera star show. You know, we live our lives through them. And it's the exact same thing that's happening in our society now with everything else. Other people have created all these things, and now because we've experienced these things so often, we feel that they're part of us, but they're not part of us, they're just a fraud.
Exactly, it's called it's gradualism. This is what you're talking about. It's called gradualism, which is part of the satanic ways. You know, I'm 53 now. From when I grew up, as growing up, the changes when television came in and all the changes along the way, I've seen the gradualism of how sexuality's become the norms now. It's now becoming almost bestiality and pornography as the norms on the billboards. Now, you wouldn't have seen that 20 years ago, you know, and all the suggestions of sexuality, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you're right, what you're saying. We not only are we in the soap opera, but we're the actors performing it because it needs our energy. It needs us to think and feel it. See,
Just like a soap opera show, like say Days of Our Lives, needs an audience the whole time in order for it to keep running, in order for that show to survive, right? And so at the moment, the world, like Shakespeare said, all the world is a show. And if you take that quite literally, it means that if we are no longer the world's audience, that means we are the ones who create the show from then on. When you walk away from the falsehood and you walk into truth, that's when the real show begins.
Exactly, which already exists. It's just been buried underneath what's been superimposed over by the distortion. But we're not just the audience. We are also the artists. We're both. We are the ones thinking and feeling it. They've suggested to us to think and feel reptilians. They've suggested us to think and feel Anunnaki or whatever. And remember, it's all come from third parties. When we're sitting on a mother's lap, it's a third party telling us this information, but that information is not found in nature. And the third party who tells that also has been guided by other third parties because it's all around us. Everyone else has become a third party, passing on this information from others who pass on the information, but no one's had a direct first party to first party experience with their senses, you know, sight, sound, touch, taste, feel, smell.
And kind of like when you're born. When you're born, you know, when you're born, you're given a name and you're told when your birthday is. And you ask that person, okay, well, do you remember when you were born? And, you know, no.
I wasn't there.
Okay, well, so you're going on what somebody else has told you. You know, you're trusting them to be truthful to you.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be staggered. You know, I'm still staggered. I take my hat off to the cleverness of these people who do this, but you got to watch out. What we say all the time, watch out for the "we will lead every revolution against us." We will lead every revolution against us. These are the people who get you to think and feel what they want you to think and feel. They massage your brain to get you to think and feel, and then others will come along who then provide remedies to what you're thinking and feeling, and people jump for that remedy, and they think they've got truth. When all they've done is they've gone from one herd, from one enclosure where the gate's been opened, they've gone down to another enclosure, but they don't see that.
Yeah, I know, I know. It's like voting between two different political parties, okay? And one person on one side is shouting, "Moo!" And on the other side, they're shouting, "Bah!"
Exactly. And so in the satanic world of Freemasonry, you've got the good guys and the bad guys working together, and they all came out of the same cabal. They work together, and the New World Order is not the police state. It's not the fear of vaccinations and chemtrails. That's not the New World Order. It's the remedy to that. And that's what we've got to watch, because it'll be the new system under a new guise. It'll be a feel-good, as in feel-God guise. And it'll be a cashless thing, and it'll be gossamered up and beautified to sound like it's wonderful, but it's just a system under another guise, but more spiritualized. And we've got to watch it because that's a scam.
Yeah, one of my friends, the guy who built the gorillamedia.co.nz for me, he's a very high level thinking programmer. Okay, he knows an awful lot about the technological realm in terms of how much we're being surveilled. And he told me that the New World Order, as you know, in the conventional sense, has so much surveillance going on. 24 hours a day, artificially intelligent computers analyzing everything we say, look, feel, do, touch, etc., through every single electronic device that's around us in real time. And the New World Order agenda is so complex that anybody who seems to be fighting against them is only there because the New World Order wishes them to stay there, to be part of leading the opposition. And I thought about this in a very real sense. Now, the people that have death threats, the people who have their lives threatened, they're the ones who actually threaten the real paradigm of the New World Order. And the people who are doing it all the time anyway and only receiving minor attention, just enough to, so that you're sure that they're there, they're part of the plan, whether or not they know it.
Exactly. You can easily detect the liars by what they represent. If they represent another construct under another guise, you know it's bullshit. Or it's not true.
And yeah,
that's what you've got to look for. You've got to look at the construct, because it's the good guys that are going to stand to appear all over the place, and more of them are going to come. These are all the false, what the Christians call the false prophets and the false everything. They're going to appear. It will be saturated by thousands of them.
Mm.
And what you find...
This happens a bit to me, when I'm wrong, okay, instead of saying, Vinny, you're wrong, and actually it's this way... they say, Vinny, you're an agent. You know?
Well, they're entitled to that opinion.
It's so hilarious.
They're entitled to that. I mean, a lot of people think that I'm someone, you know, who don't make myself out to be. But I'm just pointing out to you that once we recognize the construct for what it is, and you see it for what it is, you'll know the truth, because then you'll really realize what is true, what comes out of nature that is real, because it's sustainable, it's life-sustainable. It doesn't need us to perform for it. Like, we don't have to believe in the tree for the tree to exist, right? The tree exists regardless whether we believe in it or not. And all the truth is like that. But they taught us to believe. It's in the middle of the word believe is the word lie. They taught us to focus on images. If you think of the brain as a film projector, and that what we're scanning is all the information they want us to think and feel, which are constructs. And so, like, you look at in the sentence of everything in the read-write alphabet languages, we're projecting this distortion, which are all the constructs. That distortion bounces back at us.
Can I just stop you there for a second? Could you define construct?
Well, a construct is an idea that's made up out of thin air that does not exist. It's like, for instance, steel or plastic. It's information that's not found naturally in nature. It doesn't exist. It has no place. And it requires destruction to what is real, to construct it. And now it's a dead corpse. So what we look at is a construct, con, as in con. Contract, the tract of the con. Construct, the structure of the con.
So it's like an android version of a real-life idea.
Yes, and that's where all the harm is.
Because I think if you base life on something that is not real, then inherently you lead yourself into danger or trouble, you know. And this is the danger with a lot of people, say, in the film industry or people in the spots of glitzy and glamour. They often have a huge amount of mental problems because I've got a saying, when you become too full of yourself, you get too far ahead of yourself. And that's what people are doing these days. They're starting to believe the lies that they're telling themselves so completely that they think that they can create reality itself.
Well, they think that's right. They think, like you said, you meet people, there's chemtrails, but they don't realize, they don't comprehend the significance of why you said that. You're saying, look at the harm that's happening to us here, but they don't see the harm. They just see it as something normal. That's part of what is real. And this is what goes back to what I was saying about in the middle of the word believe is the word lie. The brain is a film projector. The information we scan across the lens of the brain is what they've taught us, because we've been, it's through black magic, they teach us to keep in focus all the constructs, because it's just information.
Well, hold on, you just cut out there a bit, mate.
Between the ears.
You have to repeat that. Arthur, are you there?
The information, yeah.
Arthur, you just cut out for a bit there, mate. You'll probably have to...
apologies. Okay, apologies. Maybe it's something to do with the VoIP. I'm not sure. I don't have a high speed VoIP here, so our VoIP is not the greatest, but it's okay.
Well, we're coming up to break soon, so if you want to just give us a quick capsule review of what you just said.
I was just... The brain is like a film projector. The information, like the film that we scan across the brain, is the information that we're trained to think and feel. That information that we scan is what we project into the cinema of life, and that bounces back from the canvas of life in the image of our projections. If that information is a construct or it's distorted, then we are distorting we are the painters, we're changing the image of life, we're repainting it in another distorted image. And as we are the audience, we're experiencing that distortion because we're sitting in the cinema watching the film bouncing back at us.
Mm-hmm. The fantasy that you live in is a reflection on you. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our guest is Arthur Christian, and we'll be right back.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and, incidentally, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. If you go there, you can check out our fabulous R18 podcast where we have absolutely no FCC regulations. We can say whatever the F we want. Speaking of whatever the F we want, Arthur, I just wanted to bring up a little bit about the FCC regulations while we're on here on the radio. You have to say BS rather than the alternative, because they are basically the worst and most vile sensory scum that live, and and they are quite ruthless. And many a show has been taken off the airwaves for small little slips. But continuing on, we're talking about the false constructs of reality. Okay, now this is all been clearly defined. Now, moving forward, once you understand that reality itself is a false idea with no substance, then what should people do? And I understand this, that people shouldn't actually have to be told what to do. They should, in fact, figure it out for themselves, ideally.
Exactly. Yep.
So the question then is, what did you do once you realized it?
Well, I like to contemplate on nature. I go to nature and contemplate, because then I create dreams, and then I then fill the information, the living information, into that dream and create it. So, out of the circumstances that we found ourselves in after what we've been through the last 5 years, our commitment, our dream is to co-create a kingdom, to be the living example of the walk, the talk, of the way of life, of how man was living without the system, without the fairy tale, in all its forms. Now, in itself is another, quite a big subject, because it means raw food eating, becoming living food eaters. It means that we no longer need kitchens. We don't need to process and eat anything that's processed. Because what I was saying earlier, life is information. And we don't want to distort the information. We want to co-create with the purity and the sincerity of every life form, because every life form has information. What I was saying earlier, with our children can be left to be brought up by nature, and we don't interfere in telling them how to think and feel with what they are observing. They will expand their consciousness because the life forms will willingly give that information of their creation. Because, for example, the system says, oh, that is a daffodil, and it does this and this and this and this. Oh, and that's the moon, and it does this, that's Mars, and that's a planet, does this and that. And on it goes. We're just layered upon layered upon layered upon of information. They're telling us how to think and feel. When our children contemplate on nature without us passing on the system to them, they will expand their consciousness and they will co-create the living dream as the artist they are, because they see the dream as them and them as the dream. There's no separation. Now, as adults, under our circumstances, we all want to, well, you're acknowledging this as well, because you've come to it, that we want to create a mass exodus out of the system. Now, that's a huge thing in itself, because it means we've got to learn through steps how to walk away from all the constructs, which means we don't want to be harm anymore. We don't want to be destroying the dream that we are, which means we've got to walk away from steel and plastic and concrete, and eventually telecommunications, internet, and all that, because our brain can do all this and much more. But see, we have, going back to what you asked before about our ancestors, you know, being 14 foot to 33 foot, because they didn't have the system to think and feel. They didn't have any constructs that were hijacking or tempting them to start thinking and feeling distortion, which is what happened to our ancestors. And through the evolution of the systems that they were part of, they developed technology which busted the water canopy, which led to the 40 days and nights of rain, which meant that we created oceans and seas, which we never had before then, because there were no oceans and seas. Earth was a living food forest that had arteries and veins like our body, as in the Mississippi, Amazon, and smaller waterways. And the oxygen content was so rich, and the pollen was so rich, that we were almost breatharians. We were still eating. We were still enjoying the senses of eating fruits and vegetables, etc. But we weren't agriculturalists. We didn't have to do any agriculture because the living food forest took care of itself. And our bodies were so powerful, not in terms of fiction as in first and last like the Olympics or big and tall. I don't mean it that way. But in terms of consciousness, in a full awakened, in a fully formed image of the dream that the creator created of, because this dream has a creator, in its true form, we were able to run hundreds of miles without pause. We could telepathically communicate with each other. Some of us, if we wanted to, we can use our brain to think of every cell in our being and relocate it somewhere else and move it by recompiling everything. We have to keep it all in focus. Now, that's not an easy thing to do under our circumstances, but in a fully awakened man can. And I've experienced this. I've had some couple people visit me like this, and this goes into the la-la, whoa, 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 you know, and I don't talk too much about it, but I've had that experience, and I know that this happens. But the most important thing is that the mass exodus is walking away from harm. We've got to stop supporting harm.
That's right. That's basically
it. That's what it's all about. It's not, yeah.
That's right. Thank you, Arthur, for coming on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, you'll have a link to his website there. Arthur, thank you very much. And we'll be back tomorrow, folks. Intel Hub coming up next.